Water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated and grab your Bible, and Brother Mike Patterson's been coming here forever.
17 years, I think.
That's what I was trying to count that again. I know I started here in 95. We just looked up the flyer that we put out for Harold Boyd coming here in 1998. Praise the Lord. And he came right up here to the year he died. And then Brother Bennett started coming in the meantime. But Brother Mike Patterson's been coming out to be with us for 17 years. Praise the Lord. You come and preach what God's laid on your heart for this day, and appreciate again your being here. If you want to get down and run around amongst us, we got a mobile mic here too. That's
I would beat that thing to death, bro.
I'm to the point now where I just about stay back here, and then I'm fine. Amen. But God is good. It's good to be here today. Amen. My wife, amen. Wife talked to her on the phone this morning. I was still laying in bed when she called me. You know, it was early. It was like 7:30. She never called me at 7:30 in the morning, but she was up early this morning, and she's going to hear your son preach today down in Massillon, Ohio. She drove from Michigan the other day down to spend a week with our son, Cale. He lives about 25 minutes from Mass, and then my grandson Brenton leads songs at with your son there. What's his name? Ching. Yeah, it'll come to me sooner or later. Amen. So, yeah, but praise the Lord. What a blessed day. Isn't this a beautiful day out today? Man, I feel good, man. I tell you, this last week I was preaching underneath the tent, sweat to death. Thursday night I was dying because of that heat and that humidity. Friday night it was worse. I tell you what, man, I thought I come out of there, I thought I was going to melt behind that platform up there. And he told me Friday night, he says, now keep it short, you know, tonight, because we got the teens in, they got a big activity afterwards. He says, so you got 15 minutes. You know what that does to an evangelist? You know, you just get your introduction in, amen. So I preached the introduction is what I did, you know, with the scriptures, and God bless, it was good. We had a number of teenagers. I think we had more visitors this year than we've had in the last 3 years. You know, last 2 years other than this one. I've been there 2 years before. And, man, the biggest night we had, I think, was Farmers Night. I could not believe the farmers in that area that came out of the woodwork to come to the tent meeting. Of course, Brother Heflin knows all of them over there. He grew up in that area, you know, and it's his home area. He owned a farm there with his brother for a number of years, and then God called him into the ministry after he saved him. Well, what a blessing it was to be over there with him again this year. But this week, Wednesday night, we had 19 people come to Christ. You know, by Wednesday night, you know, that's from visitation, and then also the meetings underneath the tent. And then on Friday night with them teenagers out there, maybe some have made a decision before pastor when they were real little. Maybe they haven't. I don't know that we have a couple pretty rough characters out there all tattooed up. And, you know, I can't believe the rough characters they have coming from that area over there. It just blows my mind, you know. But they came in and we had about 30 come forward for salvation on Friday night. And, well, what a blessing. What a blessing, you know. And so how many of those got saved, Brother Mike? I know. I hope all of them. Amen. I hope all of them. But there were some good decisions, I believe, that were made all week long. You know, we just thank the Lord for what he's done. Acts chapter 1 with me this morning. Acts chapter 1. And it's a very familiar portion of Scripture to you. Nothing that you have not heard before, probably. Nothing that you haven't thought of about maybe in your own life as far as the Scriptures go. But Acts chapter 1. But what a Book of Acts, a tremendous book about the church, amen, and the direction of the church and the starting of the church and just everything about the church from Acts chapter 1 all the way through, you know, what it's going to be and what it's going to take. And what God has used this book in my life many times over the years just to encourage me and then to show me some things. Sometimes I miss. I've seen this before, but so I know you probably have too, but in verse 8 of this text, and we've already prayed this morning, so I'm just going to read the text, Pastor, and get into this today. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, let me make a statement. That's what you do with your missions, amen? You reach, praise the Lord, I hear you starting churches, helping to start churches around, you know, and well, what a blessing that is. But missions, can I just give a plug for your missions real quick, Pastor, just for a minute? Your missions giving, you ought to add to that every year. I've added mine every year. I add to my missions giving and make it more and more. And I'm not going to tell you how much more, but and how much you ought to do. I know what I do. And God's always blessed it, amen. God has never let me down in all these years. I know one missionary, just a quick plug, I know one missionary that went around the country doing missions conferences. His name was Bob Monday. And he was part of Baptist Men Missions raising support for missionaries. And he did Faith Promise Missions. And in the regular Baptist Fellowship, he got a lot of Faith Promise missionaries, missions giving started in churches around the country. And he said one time, when my wife Margaret, I think his wife's name is Margaret if I remember right, when we started out and what we were giving, he says, every year when the Lord convicted my heart about this, I started doubling my giving every year. You imagine what that'd be if you're giving $100 a week this year, what that would do next year? Man, you and I could probably never afford that, amen. And I don't know how in the world he did, but he just went out by faith. And he'd already been doing Faith Promise. Let's say if you just started off at $10 a month. Well, the second year, you're $20 a month. The third year, you're, you double every year, $40 a month. Then $80 a month. Then $160 a month. And $320 a month. And he'd already been doing this about 10 years. So I'm just going in my mind. You know, he's $320 a month, then you got $640 a month, then you got $1,280 a month, you know, then you got the $2,560 a month, you know, after 9 years. I have no idea how he did it or what he was doing, but I don't think he started off at $1 a month, but even if he did, then you got two, then you got four, then you got eight, then you got 16, then you got 32, you know, then you got 64, then you got 128, you know, then you got 236, just after 6 years, $236 or so, you know. So, man, can you imagine just adding if you doubled it? I'm not telling him to do that, amen. I'm afraid if I told you that God would convict me about it, amen. And I know what I give, you know. And I'm just simply saying that you ought to add to your missions something every year. You ought to pray and ask God to seek His face. What should I do with Faith Promise Missions? I hope you've been asking Him, amen. And then you say, well, I already turned in my card. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. You can always add to it.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. Always add to it. God's good. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, that's the missions thought. Amen. So, now I want to come back to this verse. I'm not even going to talk about missions this morning in this message, which might surprise you because usually this is a verse that's used for worldwide missions and home missions because it says, he says again, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, that's your home, and in Judea, that's the area around you, and in Samaria, that's a far, so it can be your home, your hometown, and your county, and then your country, and then your world, you know. And what a great verses for that. But I want to look at this word in here. Ye shall receive power, comma. So there's a thought there, a complete thought. Ye shall receive power. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. Revival meetings are coming up, and a lot of times we have revival meetings and people say, well, I just feel the power, you know. And just having evangelism does not mean you're going to have the power of God in the meeting, amen. You hear loud preachers. I'm a loud preacher. I'm not a quiet preacher, amen. I like to think I'm quiet, but I'm not quiet. I can't even whisper quiet, amen. I whispered to my wife in church, the church service. She said, everybody around you can hear you. Well, then they ought to give more money to the preacher, amen. I'm just kidding, amen. But I want to ask you this question. Do you want God's power in your life? Do you want God's power? And that's the question. There's 260 verses in the Bible that contain the word power. Now, we're barely even going to scratch the surface of this morning. Just barely scratch the surface, you know. So if you have an itch, just go like this. You know what happens when you just barely scratch an itch? What happens? You got to dig it again until you get down in there, amen. Well, we're just going to scratch the surface today. So after this, you do the digging, amen. You do the digging. You do some searching on the Word of God. Many Christians say they want God's power in their life. Isn't that true? I want God's power in my life, amen. Many Christians have a desire for God's power in their life, and many Christians seek to have God's power in their life. But the truth to be known, the truth is this, is many Christians don't have the power of God in their life. Many believers don't have the power of God in their life. Many pastors live without the power of God in their life and in their ministry. I've seen it. Pastor Rice, you've seen it. Amen. I've seen some of the most dynamic preachers I know around my life. And when you sit down and you're with them, you find out that there's something that's missing. Just because they can preach and preach loud and preach good sometimes does not mean that they have God's power in their life. Well, I think God's power would show up in our lives in many ways, not just in the preaching, but and not just in what we do, but how we are as believers in Christ. Many missionaries live without God's power in their life and their ministry. Many evangelists live without God's power in their life and in their ministry and in their preaching. And I've seen it. Someone wrote this: why is our walk with God sometimes a crawl with God? Why is our walk sometimes just a crawl? And why the lack of passion for our Savior who gave all for us? Amen. Just think for a little bit. Why the lack of victory over sin in the average Christian's life? And why the lack of power to shake the world for Christ? And then he wrote this. The words of Billy Sunday ring true. Here's what Billy Sunday said. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. Amen. Well, I tell you what. God's power is not based on your strength. Not based on you at all. It's not based on your abilities. Amen? His power is not based on His power is not even based on your intellect. I've heard people, because they're really smart, I've heard other people say, man, they've got something there, man. God's really got a hold of them because they know all these big words. Well, you know, I like what Billy Sunday used to say, you know. He said, if I preach so the doctor will get the message, the coal miner will understand the message, the coal miner will never get it. And coal miners back in that day were classified basically illiterate because they didn't go to school. They started in the coal mines when they were 12, 13 years old sometimes. And so then he made the statement, he said, but if I preach so that the coal miner will get the message, the doctor will always understand it. Amen. So then we developed a principle called the KISS principle. You know what that is, don't you? Keep it simple, stupid. Amen. God's power is not based on your list. His power is not based on your standards. His power is not based on your preference. His power is not based on your conviction. God's power is not based on those things. God's power is based on Him. In fact, power, number one, power comes from God and belongs to God only. Power comes from God and belongs to God. Psalm chapter 62, I have a number of scriptures already written out. You can write these down as I quote them, and you can look them up later on. But Psalm chapter 62, verse 11, God has spoken once. Twice, I believe it's David who wrote Psalm 62, if not the psalmist, says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. Amen. Power belongeth to God. Psalm 66, verse 7, He ruleth by His power forever. 66, 7, He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Otherwise, He ruleth by His power. Don't let the rebellious say, I've done all this. I've made this happen. Well, that's the world today, man. And that's liberalism today. I believe they can do anything to anybody and get away with everything. And God said, wait a minute, no, nothing happens without me. I have the control. I rule by my power. And then I like what he clarifies in there, forever. There's not a time from the beginning of time where God, and before the beginning of time as we know it, where God does not have the power. He's always had power. and he still has power. Romans chapter 13, 1 says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are, or the powers that be, are ordained of God." See, listen again. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And I don't like putting myself under the authority of idiots, amen. But guess what I have to do? As long as it's not going to violate God's ruling and God's truth and God's word, there's going to be some things that I don't want to give into because I'm me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I hate seatbelts. I detest them, brother. I hate seatbelts. Amen. But I've got two in my truck. I'm not going to tell you if I use them or not. Amen. Ride with me and you'll find out, you know. And I just said that some police officers are watching this, and you go watch for me to pull out now to have the seatbelt on now. I don't like motorcycle helmets. I don't. I mean, you know, if I'm in a state when I was riding and they had to have a helmet on, I would put one on, but I didn't like it. As soon as I got to the next state where I didn't have to have one, they'd go on the back thing of my bike, you know, and then I wouldn't have a helmet on. What are you going to do if you land on the road on your head, Brother Mike? Then I'll see you in glory when you get there, amen? But isn't that my business? That's how I look at it. That's what I want to do, amen? So I'm just simply saying, my friend, so that God, we have to be subject to the higher powers. Why? For there is no power but of God. He says he puts those in position of authority that he wants to. Kings rule by his power, by his authority, by what he wants. No matter how the vote went, amen, there's a reason why the Lord is letting this happen. And we just need to trust the Lord. Amen? Just need to trust God. I don't like it. You don't like it. I don't think you liked it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, thank you. Now, we all agree with that. Amen? John 19:11 says, "Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from..." They couldn't even take the life of Jesus Christ without God letting them do it. He said, without coming from above. God's got the power, amen. And we need to realize that everything that happens because of the power of God. He says, "Except it were given thee from above, therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Some say, well, he was talking about Judas. Some say he was talking about Pilate. It does not matter who he was talking about. They could do nothing without God's authority. Could do nothing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. That's God, amen. Power comes from him. Power belongs to him. And you don't do anything without the power of God. Number two, everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Now listen, I don't care if you say, well, I have a little bit. You don't get anything without the power of God.
Amen.
You don't get anything without the power of God.
Amen.
You say, where do you get that, Brother Mike? Go to Deuteronomy. I'll let you turn there with me to this one. Deuteronomy, because I got about 10 verses to read. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. I'll give you a second to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading down in verse 10. And we're going to read through verse 20. The Bible says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware." Notice he said, now beware, watch out. He said, watch out, be careful, beware, "that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments." But we could use that today, amen. We just need to be careful. "And his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, and where there was no water. Who brought thee forth the water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee,
and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou mayest say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this. And then he says, what? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Hey, listen, everything you get comes to you by the power of God. Nothing that you do comes to you except by the power of God.
Amen.
And he said, don't forget that. And we'll apply this to the believer's life today. Amen. By the way, the world can't do anything without the power of God. This world is held together by the word and the power of God. Amen.
Amen.
And our country right now is held together by the power of God. Amen. And when God says it's done, it's done. And I'm afraid, preacher, it's not very far before it's done.
Yeah.
Well, look what's going on in New York City right now. If you're there, you can't even go into a restaurant unless you have a special identification saying you got pricked with a needle. That's terrible. But it's going to happen all across America. You wait. It's going to happen all across America. And then pretty soon it's going to happen in all the little towns. All the governors are going to get a hold of that and say, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. Cuomo resigned. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not even part of this state, and I'm glad he's gone. Amen. Watch what he says, verse 18 again. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, of which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, we don't have a perfect country, but we do have a nation under God, no matter what anybody says right now. They can deny that fact, and they can deny the power of God. But truth be known, this nation is not here without the power of God. It's not here. It's the power of God. Another thought. God's power not just comes by him, belongs to him, and by everything you get by the hand of God because of the power of God, but God's power will lead you in the right direction. God's power will lead you in the right direction. David says in the book of 2 Samuel, in chapter 22, and verse 33, he said, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. See, God's way for you is the perfect way. It's the right way. It's the holy way. It's the correct way. And David recognized the fact. He says, my strength, God is my strength and my power. And because of God being my strength and my power, he says, he maketh my way perfect. Otherwise, when David stops realizing that God's in control and it's by his strength and his power, then David's way is not going to be perfect. And David recognized that fact. In fact, there's one or two times in Scripture, you know, like I do, I don't have to tell you the story of David, amen, where he walked off that path, where he did not go the direction of God. And I'm wondering in that moment if he just stopped recognizing the fact of God's strength in his life and God's power in his life. Well, he began that with Bathsheba when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, preacher, because he neglected his responsibility. He was supposed to be in battle. He was supposed to be out when the kings do war. But he decided to stay home, amen. He was out of the way, and not walking with God at that moment. Boy, how sad that came into his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, and he said unto me, Paul recognized that. Paul says, he said unto me, when he said, I prayed thrice for this thing to be removed from me, he said, God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But Paul recognized the fact that the power comes from God, and that God's the one that gives him strength, and God's the one that helps, and God's the one that moves him. So Paul goes on to make the statement, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. I don't know about you, but I don't take glory when I'm hurting, amen. And I'm not thinking of the Lord when I'm really laying there hurting bad, amen. I'm thinking, oh, woe is me. My little own pity party, you know. Anybody else like that besides me in here? You know, you don't. You just think, oh no, I can't go through this again, you know. But Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he goes on to say, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Whoa, pleasure? Why and how? Because he recognized the power of God rests upon him. So he said, I can take glory in my infirmities, my difficulties, my hardships, my financial lack, my financial gain, my headache, my leg ache, my back ache, you know, my face ache. You know, he said, I can do this because I recognize the fact that it's God's power. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How does he recognize that? Because he recognized the fact that it's God who is in complete, total, 100% control. That was in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. And then he will give you power to speak for him. He'll give you power to speak for him. Some people, I've heard people say, I wouldn't know what to say to somebody if they ask me, how can you be saved? And I wouldn't know how to start. I wouldn't know how to tell them. Just tell them what happened to you, amen? Tell them what happened to you. Tell them what you did. And just begin sharing right there. You might not remember every verse. You might not remember every verse reference that someone used with you, but you remember portions of it, amen. And those portions of that can help someone to go and turn in the right direction, amen, and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember over in the book of Numbers in chapter 22 and verse 38, he will give you power to speak for him. In Numbers 22 verse 38, this is where Balaam and Balak are together. And you know that Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. That's why he's bringing it. So you come up and you curse Israel. You remember, boy, I tell you, what a classic story when animals talk, amen. And that ass in the wilderness stopped, you know, because Balaam smacked him two or three times and was beating him, you know. And then the donkey spoke up, man. Good night, boy. That must have been, you know, that I would probably pass out if some animal walked up and started talking to me, amen. I see some people that look like animals talking to me, but I'm just saying that would have scared me to death, I think, amen. But it didn't shock, you know, what's funny about that, you ever read that story? He wasn't shocked.
Yeah, that's right.
So, does he talk to animals all the time? I don't know, you know. I mean, he wasn't shocked with that, the dumbass spake, it says. He wasn't shocked when that donkey talked to him. It just blew my mind, you know, that. But Balaam says to Balak this, in verse 38 of Numbers 22, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. You know what he's saying? It's the power of God that allows me to speak for God. Not your own power, amen. You just walk up and try to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ without asking him to help you, you're going to make a mess out of it, amen. You will, you'll make a mess out of it. I've made a mess out of it so many times over the years because I thought I was some hot shot saved in prison and go to talk to somebody, man, and everything just falls apart and it blows apart, amen. I learned now, I'm going to talk to somebody about the Lord. I'll be praying in my mind before I open my mouth up, Lord. Give me the right words right now, Lord, because I don't know what to say exactly. But you know the situation. You know the heartache. You know the heartbreak. You know the person. You know the individual, God. Open their heart up right now, please, and help me to be able to be a mouthpiece for you. And God, you don't, you know, I've said this many times, you don't need me. He doesn't. He doesn't need you. But he desires to use us to his glory and to his honor. And he will give you the power to speak for him. Remember Jehoshaphat? Ahab calls Jehoshaphat. And he says, I'm going to go bad. I want you to come down. I want you to help me in this against, I think it was Assyria. I think is who he was fighting at the time. He said, I want you to come down. I want you to go to battle with me against Assyria. And so Jehoshaphat comes down. And he says, is there any prophet? And so, you know, Ahab says, yeah, you know, there's a prophet, but his name's Micaiah, but he doesn't like me. That's just the gist of the story. And every time he prophesies, he speaks against me. And so he says, you know, so then they get the 450, and they begin, or then Jehoshaphat says, well, send for him. And so they send somebody after Micaiah. And so now all these other prophets, 400 prophets of Baal, literally, because they sure weren't God's prophets, amen. But anyway, they're there around Ahab, and they're there around Jehoshaphat, and they're saying, go out and do battle against Assyria. And every one of them are agreeing together that you will win this battle. You will win this war. You'll have no problem. And one takes a set of bull horns with the priest. I can't remember. One takes a set of bull horns, and he goes like this, and he's charging through, and he says, and he will push Assyria like this, you know. So you're going to win this battle. So Micaiah comes. Remember the man who went after Micaiah said this when they sent him to him. Now, you know, when you see Ahab and you see Jehoshaphat there, just agree. Agree with the other prophets. You know, and tell them everything's going to be fine. Go ahead and do battle. You know, he said, just do that, would you? And so Micaiah gets there. Micaiah says, go to battle. He says, surely you're going to win, basically. You know, yeah, go ahead, have fun at it. You know, this is going to be a good thing for you. I'm just giving you a liberation of this thought, you know. And so Micaiah gets there and he says that. And then immediately Ahab recognizes. And he says, I told you he doesn't like me. And have not I told you to tell me the truth when you speak to me? Okay. And then he tells him, you're going to lose this battle. You're going to lose your life in this battle. It's going to be over at this end. You remember? And then one of the other prophets slaps Micaiah. And they're going to take him and they're going to put him in jail. And Ahab goes into war. But here's what Micaiah said to, Ahab. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. As the Lord liveth, the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. You know, we just need to simply trust God, amen. He will give you the words at the right moment, at the right time, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He is the only one in your life that can give you the power to do what you need to do. Because it comes from God. Anything you do in your own strength is not of God. Anything you do in your own ability is not of God. Anything you do your own way is not of God. You have to trust God and let Him do what He wants to do to His honor and to His glory. Amen? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Power of God. I don't know in your life. I desire, can I tell you this? I desire the power of God in my life. I really do. And there's a lot of times, I have to be honest with you, in 47 years of my life and in 42 years of ministry, a lot of times when I've lacked God's power in my life because I was doing things my way. I don't want to do things my way. I don't want to do things my way. I want things to be done God's way. Amen? And let God have the glory and the honor. Now this morning, probably everybody in here is saved. Amen? But I'm just going to ask a question anyway. If your life ended today, would you go to heaven? Would you go to heaven? If you can't say yes, I'd just like to pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I believe everybody here has told me about their salvation testimony one time or another. But just in case, anybody at all? Second question. Here you go. Mike, would you pray for me? Because I recognize the fact that I need God's power in my life as a child of God. And I don't want to do things my way. Just pray for me. How about right now? Slip your hands up. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and heads bowed, eyes closed. And I'm going to turn the invitation over to you, Pastor, in just a minute, okay? Father, thank you for your precious word. Father, I thank you for these who raised their hand, Father. You know the heart. You know the very need, Father. I pray, God, that you would show your power in their lives as they trust you and walk with you and come close to you, Father, and help them to do what they need to do to your honor, to your glory, that you be magnified upon high. Thank you, Father, for the salvation of souls, Father, this last week. But thank you, Father, for this morning. I didn't see any hands raised, Lord. I believe all these here in this room know you as their personal Savior. And Father, I thank you for them. And thank you for their friendship. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Rice. Just continue to bless in their lives, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Pastor.
Thank you, preacher. We'll have a verse of invitation. The altars are open. Let's go ahead and do business with God.
Father, I praise you and thank you for what we've heard here today. Thank you for each prayer that's been lifted to you from this altar, each decision, each request that's made, Father, that we could again just have your power in our lives, your Holy Spirit in control. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you even for your words and the encouragement and strength that's found there. Cause again, yea, this week, Father, we be in power, in your power, in your presence, and Father, that we could hear from you. Thank you for the service, and we'll praise you now, and thank you, Father, for your touch on our week, your touch on each one that's here today. In the name of Christ, we pray, and amen, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. You don't get no power without that first salvation. Hallelujah. And he's got power to save. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Praise the Lord. We're taking the preacher out to Ling Ling's up in Geneva. Best Chinese in Yates County. So anyone wants to join us, that's where we'll be. And we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock again. So put that in your calendar, in your schedule, and We haven't been doing that in a while here, so you got to rearrange your Sunday afternoons here to be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord bless you for being in worship today.
Amen.